Good morning, church. Would you stand in the house this morning? We've come to praise the Lord, right? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Church family, today is an awesome day. I told you they were slick. We get to baptize Reese Davidson. Come on down. And these are always exciting to me, but now I've been here long enough that I was the kids pastor when Reese was born. And so it's really cool to get to spend all this time with the kids and then see them make the decision that I want to proclaim to everybody that I'm a Christian and I serve the Lord. So, Reese, do you love the Lord with all your heart?
Yeah.
Are you ready to be baptized in front of your church family today?
Yeah.
Reese, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord. Father, we love you in this place. We've come to meet with you face to face, Jesus. I will not fear when the enemy the door frame of my life. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. I will not fear, I will not fear no. There's an army of angels here. I'm protected on all sides by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's give him praise in this place today. Oh, thank you, Father, for your love.
No praise to the one who saved my life. time. Let's sing that. So I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life down. Come on, lift your voice, sing it to him today. So I lift my hands up, lay my whole life now is for you. And I lift my hands up, lay my whole life down, my whole life down before you. 'Cause all praise to the Lord Most High, and all praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, my King of heaven, my King forever.
Thank you, Lord. Let's lift up a thanksgiving and a praise to the Lord right now. We love you. We bless you, Lord. Praise your awesome name, O Lord. Worship you in your presence this morning, O Lord. We thank you, Lord. We gather together in the name of Jesus this morning to worship you, to declare our faith, to encourage and strengthen one another, and to receive from you, Lord, what we need today. Thank you for your faithfulness and love, your amazing grace. Thank you for your presence with us here in this sanctuary this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are working by your Spirit, a new work in our lives today. And we invite you right now to do that work. We surrender our hearts, our lives before you today. We declare that you are the Lord of our lives this morning. All praise belongs to you, Lord. We lay our lives down before you once again this morning. And thank you so much for the joy of being part of your family and your plan, your kingdom, Lord. Thank you so much. We pray for anybody and everybody in this room today who's brought in a heavy heart, needs in their lives today. We pray for healing to flow right now across this sanctuary, for your mighty touch to rest upon your people right now, oh God. May you lift us, may you strengthen us, may you encourage us today, oh Lord, to receive from you. In the name of Jesus, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. I want to invite quickly, please, our deacons to come and join me here and our pastors. Just come quickly, and Pastor Peter and Dr. Richard, grab the bottles of anointing oil. I want us right now to take a moment to anoint the sick with oil in agreement with James chapter 5. If any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord and praying the prayer of faith. If you need a healing touch from the Lord right now, just come from where you are and let us just agree with you quickly today and pray that the Lord will touch you this morning and bring the healing power of the Lord into your life. Don't hesitate this morning. Just step out right now and we'll agree together in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your healing promises, your healing word, O Lord. Thank you for the reality of your presence here today. Thank you, Lord. Nothing is too hard for you, God. You are the Lord, our healer. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just come and find one of the elders this morning. We'll agree together with you this morning that the Lord will touch you right where you are and bring healing into your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The God that healeth me, you are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word trust you, Lord, for that healing today. We declare this morning, you are the Lord, our healer. You are the Lord, our strength giver. You are the Lord, our restorer today. You are the Lord, our lifter this morning. We trust you and we cast our cares upon you this morning, Lord. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. We believe it, Lord. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. My healer, we thank you, Lord. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. Morning, we lift up Gary and Jana Oliver. I think I see them up in the top this morning. Gary's dad passed away this week after a battle with cancer. He is in the presence of the Lord this morning. We thank God for the promise of heaven and eternal life. We'll be celebrating Bubby's life with a visitation this Tuesday evening and funeral services on Wednesday morning in California, Missouri. But Gary and Janet, we pray the Lord will comfort you and all of your family there, that the Lord will cover you with his grace and his peace and just fill you with the hope of heaven as we look forward to the great reunion that's coming for us one of these days. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for Bubby's life. Thank you, Lord, for his strong testimony of faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for his strong influence in his family and the good life he has lived. We pray over the Olivers today that you would comfort them and strengthen them, give them peace, even as they journey through this season of saying goodbye to such a precious, precious dad. We ask that you'd supply every need they have, and may you accompany them, O Lord. You promise never to leave us, never to forsake us, and you are faithful to that. We ask your blessing upon this church family today. Lord, thank you that you are more than enough for every one of us. Our trust, our confidence is in the name of the Lord our God. And we thank you, Lord, for your work today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to church this morning. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms this morning. Would you take a moment to reach out and shake hands and greet one another, please, before you're seated today, please. God bless you. We want to welcome you to church again this morning. If you're visiting, please stop by our Welcome Center out in the lobby for a little gift and to connect with us a little further. We'd love to do that this morning. And we want to thank you so much, congregation, for your faithful tithing and giving to the ministries here at First Assembly and around the world. You can do that by giving in the drop boxes at the back of the sanctuary or by giving online or sending to the church office. We want to thank you so much for your love and your faithfulness to us and to the work of the Lord. And we want to invite everybody to join us this Wednesday night at 7 here in the sanctuary. We'll be continuing our series into the Holy Spirit. We had a wonderful time last time we were together. And by the way, this past Tuesday evening, we welcomed the Evangel Singers. They were absolutely, how many were here Tuesday evening with us? What a wonderful treat that was. And we're so grateful for their ministry. And we thank God for, Rebecca, who is part of that, she's out ministering again today. So thank you, Rebecca, from a distance. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. We want to stand again this morning just quickly as we sing one more song before the preaching of the word today. We'll be going to Matthew chapter 15 in just a moment, but let's sing in worship to the Lord right now, please. This morning, you may be seated, everyone, as we look to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 today for an unusual story in the scripture, but this will be our Mother's Day message today. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. I recently finished my first read-through of the Bible for 2025 and am starting into the New Testament again. And this was part of my Bible reading yesterday, Matthew chapter 15. I did not write the sermon yesterday, but here we are in Matthew's gospel at the start of the New Testament. And aren't you glad today for the Lord Jesus and his miracle working power in our lives? Would you say amen? And he is Lord. Today we see a story of his lordship over the power of the enemy that would hold people captive. And we read the story in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Our title this morning, Mom on a Mission. How many moms do we have in the house today? Lift your hand. Let's give the moms a hand clap today. Thank you, moms. To my own sweet wife, Brenda, who's an excellent mom to her children, happy Mother's Day. And to all of you mothers as well, many of you have mothered me over the years. My dear mom has gone to heaven, but I've had a lot of moms in this congregation down through the years, for which I am grateful. And today we're going to read the story about a mom who just held on to Jesus in order to get the deliverance that her little daughter needed. So we read at Matthew 15, verse 21, these words. Leaving that place near the Sea of Galilee, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. This is a strange story that we have before us in the scriptures today, but it's a great story to be told and a great story to be examined on a Mother's Day Sunday morning. Let me break in just to say that my dear mom, who went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago, was a lady of strong faith and devotion to her Lord and to her family. And her chief mission in life was the spiritual well-being of her children. My mom became a Christian as just a young girl due to the influence of her aunt and uncle who had become Assemblies of God ministers way back in the 1930s. And my mom became a strong believer. Throughout her teenage years, my mom had great difficulties with emotional distresses. But the Lord brought her through that season and brought her into life and gave her life again, even from situations that were very difficult for her. And down through the years of her life, my mom clung to the Lord with all of her might. She became a teacher and a prayer warrior and a great woman of God. And she served the Lord faithfully. And she became a spiritual servant to her children and to her family. She became an anchor in our home of spiritual life and strength. I have to say that until my very last moment of being with Mom, Mom was a spiritual prayer partner with me. While she was still able, she would call me every day, sometimes multiple times a day, to simply say, is there anything to pray for? And she would pray for me. And she was a strong blessing to our family and sowed spiritual seed into our family. I'm extremely grateful for my mom's mission in my life. Her main goal and her main desire in life was to see all of her children join her in heaven someday. And thank God we're on the way. Would you say amen? Now, the story before us in the scripture today is the story of a mom who was committed to seeing her daughter delivered by the power of Jesus. We can't really say or note that this woman had much of a spiritual background or history. She came from a heathen group of people, but when she heard about Jesus, she reached out to Jesus, and she reached out to Jesus for help. She came to Jesus with a desperate plea. Her little daughter was possessed by a demonic spirit, and she was desperate to see her daughter delivered. And so this mom sprang into action. She made her way to Jesus, and she began, or at least she engaged in, what I believe was a masterful bargaining process, negotiation process with the Lord Jesus. I call her this morning the mom on a mission. And I want us to examine her story today and learn a few important lessons that I'm sure we already know, but we need to be reminded of again this morning. The story starts by our declaring that this was a maneuvering mother. You know that sometimes parents will do almost anything to get an advantage or a benefit for their children. We see it in the news sometimes. Parents go to great lengths and great costs to try to get their children ahead. In this story, this woman's daughter was already broken and bruised and beaten down by the power of the devil, and this mother determined she had to do whatever necessary to get some relief for her daughter. And we examine this woman in a strange way this morning because of her ancestry. This story is strange because of the woman's ancestry. Listen to what verse 21 says about this woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him. A Canaanite woman. The Gospel of Mark says the woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. So this story is made possible when Jesus actually leaves the country of Israel. He's gone. He has become a border crosser here, Jesus has. And he crosses the northern border of the country, and he moves up into the northern territory of Tyre and Sidon. And the woman is, can note from the beginning of this story that Jesus is headed into non-Jewish territory. It shouldn't surprise us then that there are people all around who are non-Jewish. He's headed into that territory. And he finds this woman there. This is non-religious territory. This is non-covenant territory. It's non-Jewish territory. And so this woman comes. She's a Gentile. She's a woman with a heathen ancestry, and she is there. And she hears of Jesus, and she sets out. She thinks to herself, this is my golden opportunity to get something done for my daughter. We don't know how the word spread about Jesus. The Gospel of Mark says he was closed away in a house, but people heard he was there anyway, and they began to come to him. And so this woman comes to Jesus. She may not have been religiously qualified or spiritually qualified or covenantally qualified, but that didn't stop her. She was going to appeal to Jesus anyway. And we consider her ancestry, and we note from the beginning of the story that this might be a mark against her. But then we look at her agenda together. Verse 22 says she came to Jesus crying out to Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. The Gospel of Mark makes note that this was a little daughter. We don't know how old she was, but it seems that she is a child. She's a little daughter. And yet the devil has oppressed her and possessed her with an evil spirit. So we see this woman is not coming for herself. She's coming for her little daughter, who is demon-possessed. We know from many stories in the Gospels that demon possession was especially horrible and crippling and debilitating. We see stories where demonic spirits absolutely ruined the lives of even young people in the pages of Scripture. But this mother had heard of Jesus, and she determined to believe. In fact, when she comes to Jesus, she calls Jesus Lord, Son of David, a title of authority. She's acknowledging that Jesus has spiritual authority, and she maneuvers her way to the Lord Jesus. What she finds when she comes to Jesus is a little shocking to us. We know that Jesus is moved with compassion throughout the scriptures. But when this woman comes, she receives what we might see as a very cold, icy response from Jesus. And we might even ask the question, is Jesus being cruel here? It seems almost, as we read this story, that Jesus is unfeeling toward this woman. Because Jesus was Jesus thoughtless? No, I've crossed that out, and I declare Jesus was being thoughtful. Because when she first comes to Jesus, the scripture says in verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. Now think about this woman crying and pleading out for mercy, and Jesus just stands there or sits there silent. He doesn't answer a word. Well, I don't believe Jesus is ever thoughtless, do you? So I believe there is strategy and plan in this situation. I'm confident of that. And so Jesus is thoughtful here, and he's working on what's going to happen in this interchange. Perhaps and probably he already knew what was going to take place, but he's thinking this through, and he is silent. And then Jesus becomes theoretical and theological and brings out a spiritual principle about the process of the Messiah coming into this world. And verse 23 says, he didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. So it looks as if the iciness of Jesus continues here. And in fact, the disciples jump into the party. And the disciples say to Jesus, send her away. She keeps bothering us. She keeps calling out after us. The disciples were bothered by this woman. I might say is what Jesus was not bothered by her, but the disciples were clearly agitated by this woman. She keeps crying out after us. Send her away, they said. Send her away. Send her away. But the one thing we notice in the story with crystal clarity is that Jesus does not send this woman away. He welcomes her into his presence and welcomes her into the process. And we note that though Jesus is saying these things, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, even as we think about his statement there, we understand that Jesus himself is the one who crossed over the northern border of the country and went up there into that region where the Canaanites were living. Jesus himself is the one who traveled there. And by the way, how many of you remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? But Jesus is speaking about a theological process that the Messiah would come from Jewish origins and that he would come into the Jewish nation, and it would be there from the Jewish nation that the gospel and the grace of God would spread throughout the whole wide world. So perhaps we might understand Jesus' statement here more clearly if we were to think of it as Jesus saying something like this: it's not quite time yet for this process to take place. And yet we know that Jesus was ministering to foreigners on other occasions as well. So Jesus was welcoming, but here he is laying out theology. But the bottom line in this story is that Jesus was there in that territory for this miracle. We read in Matthew 15, 21, Jesus left that place, withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And when this miracle was over, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. We note in the accounts of both Matthew and Mark that this was the only recorded ministry that took place during this trip. Jesus went all the way up there into foreign territory. It seems obvious for this one miracle and for this high priority encounter. I believe Jesus made that trip and performed this miracle to teach a lesson about what was on the horizon for the good work of God in this world. That even strangers, even non-religious people, even the heathen would be offered the chance to be touched by the living God and receive an invitation to come into the family of grace. This was a critical miracle for this woman and daughter, but it was also significant for the message of Jesus. And he was here in this territory, I believe, strictly and specifically for this woman's case, to bring deliverance to her daughter. And so the conversation takes place, and even as Jesus makes these statements, as he says, I'm here for the lost sheep of Israel, and even as there's delay in the process, this woman hangs on to Jesus and exhibits a feisty faith. She's fighting now for her daughter. And we notice the scripture tells us that she bowed and she begged to Jesus. Matthew 15 says the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. And Mark's gospel says she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. She's bowing and she's begging. She's pleading with Jesus. The disciples want to send her away, but she's going nowhere until she gets the attention of Jesus. Remember that Old Testament story of Jacob wrestling with an angel all night long? The light begins to dawn, and the angel says to Jacob, let me go. It's almost daybreak. And Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he hung on until he got the blessing of the Lord. This is a lesson about faith and determination. This is a lesson about hanging on to God and believing that God is going to touch us and determining that we're going to put our hope and our confidence in the Lord. Listen, friends, sometimes we gotta hang on to God until God brings the deliverance. Sometimes there's delay in the coming of the deliverance, but I want you to know God hears every prayer that his people pray. Do you believe that this morning? He hears us. If you've prayed for God to help you and it seems like the help has not yet arrived, I want you to know this morning God has already heard your prayers. Many times he's moving in the background in ways that we do not even see or understand. And this woman demonstrates a fiery and feisty faith as she bows and begs before the Lord Jesus. And then it seems that the situation becomes even worse as she begins to bark about bread. Listen to what Jesus says. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. How many of you know this woman is not going to let go? At least we can say this is an extremely witty woman. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus says, it's not right to give the bread to the dogs. This might seem like an insult. It might be hard to hear. But I believe Jesus was pressing this woman to join the family of faith and reaching to stretch her and to call upon her determination. We also would note, even as we hear these words from Jesus, an old New Testament scholar by the name of Richard France wrote these words, written words can never convey a twinkle in the eye, nor can we hear Jesus' tone. And is anybody here who's ever texted somebody something and they misunderstood because you can't really get the message clearly sometimes from a text message? We're reading the written words here. Jesus is saying these words, but we don't see the look in Jesus' eye here as he's speaking back and forth to this woman. One thing I can assure you this morning, friends, is that Jesus loved this woman. He's going to go to the cross for her. He's going to die on the cross to save this woman. Are you here? He's going to tell his disciples shortly before the day of Pentecost that they're going to be spreading out of the country of Israel and moving out into the uttermost parts of the world to take the good news of Jesus and his salvation and his delivering power into the regions of the world, into those who've never known about God, is going to come the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Jesus loved this woman. He loved her. And this woman's faith and determination were bold and creative. Her little daughter needed a miracle, and Jesus was the only option. So she reaches out to Jesus with this final appeal. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And as a result of that doggedness and that determination, her daughter was delivered. Jesus loved her doggedness and determination. Listen to verse 28. Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." How many of you understand this morning that Jesus can issue a word and a decree and the deed is done? And the miracle came at the word of Jesus. This was a long distance miracle, but thank God there's no distance with the Lord. As he speaks, and wherever this girl is, look at it here, the daughter, Jesus liberated the daughter. Verse 28 says, her daughter was healed from that very hour. And the woman went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. A powerful work of deliverance. Worked by Jesus. I say to you this morning, she got more than a crumb that day, didn't she? She got the children's bread. When I was a kid growing up in church, we had a lady in our church who sang a song based on this story. And the song said this, "Feed the children, but give me the crumbs from the table. I beg for them down on my knees." Every time that woman would sing that song, my mom, when we would get home, would say, "I'm not a dog. And I want more than the crumbs." And you know what? She was right. How many of you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has transformed us and adopted us into the family of God? And we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hallelujah. My mom bristled at that song, just like we do when we think about this story. Jesus was making a point, but Jesus was not drawing a principle here that would exclude people. Jesus was working a miracle that would include people. And thank God we are included, because I'm telling you here this morning, we are a long way here in Jefferson City, Missouri, from Jerusalem. But we've been included. And Jesus worked a great miracle for this woman and her daughter. Now let's think about a few important Mother's Day messages based on this story. One, Jesus is the answer for broken families today. He can break the bondages of the devil and demons and bring us into the fullness of God's family. Aren't you glad for that? Do you have a situation in your own family that needs to be broken by the power of God? I want to encourage you this morning to stand firm and hold on to God and believe God to break the power of the enemy and set the captive free. I'm here to declare this morning that nothing is too hard for our God, and God is moved when we pray for our families. Number two, thank God for moms who prioritize their children's spiritual welfare and are willing to fight for their freedom. God honors the prayers of mothers. Yes. This morning, in just a little while, we're going to come into agreement in prayer that God will answer the prayers of many moms in this house today who've been holding on for their children and for their families. And we're going to trust that the Lord is going to move as we believe that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And number three, we are God's children through our relationship with Jesus. And the bread on God's table now belongs to us. Hallelujah. So let's feast in faith on God's abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.